Welcome to episode 20 of the Power On Retro Gaming Podcast. I'm joined by my usual co-host, the Digital Games Master, Scott, and I am James. And now we are here to talk about video games.
Certainly are, James Bonan, so let's get straight into it and we'll start off with the usual topic. What have we been playing? What are we playing? What have we been playing? You want to fire off some games that you've been working through or some old titles that you've revisited, perhaps?
Yeah, I'll go back to a couple of weeks ago. The reason why the show has been delayed is I actually fractured my ankle. So I've been in hospital for the last couple of weeks, but that's given me a chance to smash out a few video games in the hospital bed and at home while I recover. Mm-hmm. At the moment, I'm playing through Link to the Past on the Super Nintendo, which is I'm playing it on the Switch Online, and that's been really good. I'm about halfway through the game.
Yeah, cool. That's great. I mean, I had that cart on Super Nintendo, but I beat the Game Boy Advance version.
Oh yeah.
So I know what it's like as a game. It's an awesome game. Yeah.
It is an awesome game. I also beat Yoshi Crafted World recently as well on the Switch.
Yes.
Also a very fun game. A bit easy, but to get like all the flowers and all the red coins, that's actually a challenge because you're like, where do I got to go? What do I got to do? It's all timing based as well.
Yeah, a lot of those sorts of games, they can be easy to just run through and beat. But if you want to do all the collectibles and stuff like that, you need to, you know, take time and care, and it's actually quite difficult.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Played through another couple of Super Nintendo games. I also beat Super Mario World on the Super Nintendo and Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island. Mm-hmm. Both very fun games. I beat Super Mario World when I was a lot younger. I used to have Super Mario World 2 when I was a kid also, but I never actually beat it. Yes. But this was the first time I got to the end, which is quite good. Yeah.
Cool.
And the very last game I also beat was Super Mario 2 also on the NES. And that was actually quite cool because when I first played it as a kid, I never really understood it. It wasn't a Mario game. It was like a totally different game. But it actually was a totally different game. It wasn't a Mario game. It was just reskinned. As we know, it's Doki Doki Panic.
Yes.
And yeah, it was quite fun. It was difficult, but it was fun. Just had to keep working through it, keep learning what to do, and then you just got through it eventually. Good game.
That's good.
Yeah.
Some Switch tiles, and it's very handy with the Switch having the save state ability with those older games because they can be quite challenging. I know Mario 2 is quite challenging.
Oh, it definitely is challenging. Okay. And that's what I've been playing of recent. What about yourself?
Well, I've sort of divided my efforts between sort of three games at the moment. The main one I'm playing at the moment is part of the Wise series, spelled Y-S. I think it might be pronounced
Ease.
Ease. I only learned that today, actually. So I was watching a walkthrough and they said that. And I'm like, what are they talking about? But then I looked it up. Anyway, so the Ease series, which is the second most popular RPG in the West to Final Fantasy. There you go. I'm probably gonna screw this up, but it's called Lacrimosa of Dana. So I think it's called that. On the PlayStation 4, it's ported to the PS3 and the Vita as well, and the Switch. But I'm playing on the PS4. I got it probably 2 years ago when it released, and never played it. But I just made an effort to sit down and play that, start to finish, and put my efforts into that rather than playing different things.
Yep.
So I think there's six chapters, and I'm up to chapter four, the end of chapter four. And it's pretty slow going. It's not the most exciting RPG. It's very can feel very basic, like you're just doing tasks that have no meaning, but it is sort of still fun. And I'm so far into it now that I just want to get it done, but it's not really the most captivating story or gameplay.
Well, that's not good because you need a captivating story in an RPG.
That's right. There's not a lot to it. You're stranded on an island, you run around killing monsters and collecting timber and stuff like that. It's not that exciting. I mean, the boss fights can be cool, but it almost is a very basic game. But look, it's one I do enjoy the series. I'll be trying to finish that off, and then I'll move on to something else, possibly the latest Final Fantasy on PlayStation 4, but we'll see what happens. Anyway, also been playing Breath of the Wild again, Zelda. I know we spoke shortly before we started recording about that, but I'm up to the last boss in that, Ganon, Calamity Ganon. So I was stuck for a while at one part of the game and then realized I was I needed to take a step back and do some other side missions and get some better skills and sort of work out the game. My biggest trouble with the game has been sort of mastering the timing of the counter moves and the combos and stuff like that. But I did have an attempt at the boss prior to us going on air and got pretty far into the fight before he killed me, but I wasn't prepared at all. I had no health items or anything like that. So that one, I'm looking forward to finishing that. And
you've been working on that one for quite a while now.
Well, I got, that was the game I got with the Switch. So, you know, so, I've probably played 60, 70 hours of it just mucking around on it. But for a long time, I didn't play it, but I was also very bad at it. So I love the game itself. It's really awesome. I just was never good at it. So it stopped me from progressing through it, unfortunately.
Okay.
And the other one was Dragon Ball Z Fusions on 3DS. A fun little Dragon Ball Z game based off, obviously, the characters from the show, but the story is not exactly based off the show itself. You go around and you fight, you level up, you can make your own characters.
Yep.
Pretty basic game, maybe a 15 to 20 hour game, probably about 6 hours into it.
Okay.
But other ones on the side of that would be Mortal Kombat 11, which I have on the Switch, but I got it on the PS4 because it's much, much better.
Yep.
Zombie Army Trilogy went on sale for $6 on the store. I bought that and was playing it with some friends. Play a little bit of Unreal Tournament 3.
Yep.
And The Witcher 3. I also started that on the Xbox after completing Gears of War.
Yeah, starting to play all the big games, aren't you? All the ones that take many, many hours.
Well, yeah, I was sort of stuck there for a little while where I was trying to complete some games and then start some new ones. And I got over that sort of hump of those games. And then I started, you know, like I play, I sort of only really want to attempt one on each console at one time. But it's because I sort of finished off a few big titles, I was able to do that. So, you know, there's always the pick up and play here and there. Hyrule Warriors, I started on the Switch after I had a mix up with the disc being delivered, the game being delivered without the cartridge in it, then they sent it out to me, which was great. And that's also right. I've ordered, which we'll talk about in a moment, I've ordered the new Animal Crossing, which I'm very excited to play, which will be here next week.
It comes out next Friday, doesn't it?
That's right. So I probably won't get it till probably the Monday or the Tuesday, but it doesn't worry me. I sort of, with the baby being very close now, I sort of had one last chance to sort of get two games, which I was expecting to get, which because obviously there's not going to be a lot that I can get. This will transition us into what we've picked up recently. But yeah, I put an order for the new Final Fantasy VII Remake and Animal Crossing because obviously when that time comes, will be restricted with what I can go out and get.
Yeah, exactly.
So those are ordered, and other things I've picked up recently. I got Dying Light on PS4. I got the HD version of Darksiders 1.
Mm-hmm.
And I also got some, yeah, as you mentioned on the intro, I got some virtual console stuff on. I pulled out the Wii U and set all that up again because I wanted to play through Color Splash Mario, Paper Mario, and ended up having a look at the store just to see what it was like at the moment, who was still on. And what they have done is they've obviously disabled the ability to add credit to your account, so you can't actually purchase anything.
Oh, really?
You can, if you go to the Nintendo website, you can add funds to your account, which transitions over. If you've linked it to the Wii U, which I did, you can actually still purchase things.
Yep.
I don't really know why they've done it that way. It's a bit strange, but I didn't realize that once you sync your Wii U to your Switch, the same Nintendo account, you can't do it on any others. So my 3DS is I can't link to my Switch.
Oh, really?
Which isn't a big deal because I haven't downloaded anything on my 3DS. But I'm glad I did it for the Wii U because the games that I got, which was Harvest Moon 64, Paper Mario 64, a heap of GBA games. You know, I got Earthbound, I got Mario RPG.
Yep.
All sorts of games. I'm expecting them to pop up on the Switch, and hopefully, because I've already purchased them, they'll just transition over. But if not, at least they're there. And this morning I ended up getting the Metroid Trilogy, which is a Wii game from the GameCube games, just because it was, you know, it's only $25, and the effort to go and find all those games and set up all that, I just really couldn't be bothered. And I was like, look, I've got a bit of money there, I'll just grab that.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I can play that.
And they're good games too. All those that you mentioned.
Well, yeah, I played a little bit Upper M, which is also on there, but I'll play through those. And yeah, pretty exciting. Like, I was surprised by what was on the store in terms of 64 games. There's actually quite a lot on there, as well as Wii games, Game Boy Advance, DS. Like, it's got all the Castlevanias. It's actually quite good, and they're really reasonably priced.
When we were doing the old show, like back in 2016, that's remember when Mario Kart first came to the Wii U? That's when the Nintendo 64 was very fresh on the Wii U. And now
Right.
look where it's at now. But yet it's like closing down pretty much.
Well, it doesn't seem like, obviously the promotional stuff around the sides of the screen when you're on the store is still current. And it looks like it's set up for more so to download for your 3DS using the Wii U, because I think that was their original idea, because it's got a lot of stuff for the 3DS, like promoting Fire Emblem and stuff. But at the same time, it's still up to date in the news. There is a sales page, but it's nowhere near as good as the Switch online store, which I still think is superior. But with the Switch store, like, there's a lot of stuff on the Switch that I say, oh, I'd love to buy that, but it's like, well, I've already got it elsewhere. But like, it doesn't, obviously not having Game Boy Advanced and GameCube and stuff like that, it lets it down. But as I said on other shows, I think that'll be something they release down the line. Yeah. What about yourself? What have you picked up?
Well, since the last episode, I've picked up a Wario Land on the Game Boy.
Yep.
Ever since we were talking about Mario Party 2, I ended up getting that one as well.
Cool.
Got Metal Gear Twin Snakes on the GameCube,
Yep.
and also Wario World on the GameCube as well.
Oh, cool.
Haven't played any of them yet, but I've been pestering my wife to go to the garage and get the GameCube so we can set it up, because I clearly can't go down there. I'm pretty much bedridden with this fractured ankle. I'm hopping around on a walker. But she's going back to work, so she's been looking after me for the last 2 weeks, so I
Oh,
can
she's back tomorrow.
actually, I can actually start playing on the TV.
Wow. Okay. And how did, like, so you can actually get around all right, or you?
I'm just hopping around using the walker. That's about it. Like carrying things, forget about it.
Right. Jeez.
But we'll see how we go after tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, good luck to you. No, you'll be right. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's cool. At least you got a few GameCube games there. You got your, obviously, yeah, you liked my review of Wario Land because you went out and
I
purchased that.
did.
But
Definitely did.
I did see that there was Wario Land 4, which I own the Japanese version, available on the Wii U store. So I think the next one I'll get on there will be Breath of Fire 3 on the Super Nintendo.
I
There
don't
was
think
also.
it didn't come out on Super Nintendo, wasn't it on PlayStation?
Oh, I'm not sure. There was one on, I think there was one that was released in Japan, but it seems like it's, they're only like $8. So I'm more likely to be quite honest, I'm more likely to play them if I get them at the moment. Well, yeah, well, I should also mention I've been playing the new Super Mario Bros. On the Wii U has the actual Wii U game that's in the drive at the moment. So that's quite challenging.
The new Super Mario's U Edition. That was a
Yeah,
good game.
yeah,
I enjoyed that.
yeah. Was that different to the Wii one?
A little bit. It was very similar formula,
So was it a
but
different game though, or was it just
different,
an up?
different, di yeah, different game.
Yeah, okay, I thought so, because I.
But similar formula.
Yeah, they are quite challenging. I like it how you can jump off the walls and stuff, but I don't know if I've just lost it with Mario games, but I seem to just totally suck. But yeah, but like all the Donkey Kong and stuff is available. Even Donkey Kong 64 is available on the store, so
That's pretty good.
it's pretty cool. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I was actually really shocked by it. And for, to pay $20 to get Mario Galaxy and stuff like that, games that I still haven't played, like, it's right there. It's easy. It's pretty awesome.
Good value, because you can
Yeah.
have it on the one system, but that's why you're the digital download man these days.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do own the physicals, but I guess it's more ease at the moment for me. At the same time, I can't really break the bank with getting too many titles. So, like, one game a week, like Skyward Sword's $22. Like, that's ridiculous. So, to get that, you know, once a fortnight to get a game, it wouldn't be that hard because that game would take you a couple of weeks to finish.
Oh, definitely.
Anyway, yeah, so that's pretty much just picking up games. I did also go and get the series Tukaiden, which is a, like, you fight monsters, sort of like a samurai game where you fight monsters. There's one on the Vita and two on the PS4. I went and got all those games.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it in terms of games. It's more about car seats and prams and teddy bears at the moment for us, but you know, at least the baby will have a kick-ass game collection when it's a bit older. Yeah, so all right, so let's talk about our topic for this episode, which is what got us into gaming, game collecting, and also some memories we have around game collecting. For yourself, Partho, my man, what got you into it? Why did you start, you know, putting together a collection of hundreds of SNES games or NES games or Wii games? What was behind all that? And what can you tell us about some early memories of sort of starting to get a decent collection together?
That's a very good question, actually. Look, I've always had pretty much a collection of games ever since I was little. But I'd always trade up to the next console. But then it got to a point where I stopped doing that and I just kept collecting them, I suppose. It was just me. I've been playing games since I was a little kid. And because when I had, just say, like the, after Nintendo 64, that was the last thing I ever traded in or sold. So I, from the PlayStation 2 era, I've always collected my games, had a rather big play collection. And then when it comes down to Game Boy, I've always kept my Game Boy stuff. So it just kept escalating and escalating and escalating. But then it came to a point probably like 2003, 2004, where I believe it was at Video Games Heaven. And I saw Killer Instinct for sale. It was like $10 in one of their bins. And I ended up buying it. And then I'm like, where is my Nintendo 6, my Super Nintendo from my mom's side? Because I know we actually sold the Nintendo 64 at my dad's to Video Games Heaven. So who knows? That could have been my original copy of Killer Instinct that I bought. So I figured out where it went and I ended up getting it back. And then I just started buying games for the Nintendo, the Super Nintendo. Build up the collection. So I had all my old games that I had at my, I had the games that my cousins had bought, and then I just started topping up. So it was at the point just the year after maybe high school, so 2008, I went on to eBay and I bought like Battletoads and Tournament Fighters and stuff like that, and I ended up getting Turtles in Time imported from Canada, because that game was actually getting high up in price. It was $60, but I thought that was a bit of a rip-off for a Super Nintendo game, if you know what I mean, back then.
Yeah, yeah. 2008. Well, it's only been 10 years since they stopped making games for it.
And so I was like, all these games were getting really expensive on eBay from what I could afford back then. And so I kept chipping away at it, and then I suppose when your income goes a bit higher, you just get the games played as a kid or wanted as a kid. And then it just escalates to, oh, this game looks good, or this, I've heard good things about this. And then it just gets into a snowball effect and it gets a bit out of control.
Yeah, okay. That sounds good. Yeah, well, I guess I do recall only really knowing one person, that's yourself, that was into sort of collecting games in a bulk sort of way. Honestly, like from knowing you for such a long time, knew sort of what consoles you had, and I think you really only had a GameCube, PS2, Super Nintendo, because I'd always pop over and you'd have you know, your Super Nintendo games were there on the floor and your PS2 games were stacked up in a pile. And I think I mentioned on another episode, like half of them weren't even opened, and then you had, you know, your PC, you're big into your PC at one stage, and then you know, they're just sort of all there. But then, like you said, you know, you start getting a bit more money, you get, you know, several different consoles. What would you say would be your biggest collection off a console that you didn't own as a, that you've now got a massive collection for, which was something you might not have had that much of a connection to?
Oh, it's either the Sega Master System. But see, I had a connection with them. My cousin Bo, he had the Sega Master System as a kid. And I used to go over to his place and play it all the time. And he would come over and play the Super Nintendo. So I had a connection with that, but I didn't own it, if you know what I mean. But I have a fair few games for it now, probably close to the 100. But for a game that I rarely ever played, I don't know. It's a mix between the Saturn and the Dreamcast.
Yeah, I'd say probably the Saturn for myself, more so Japanese titles. I don't have an English PAL version Saturn. I've got a Japanese, we've actually got two Japanese ones and a heap of games for it, like heaps. Yep. Not hundreds, not probably not 50. A lot. Like, I never had a Saturn. I never had a Dreamcast.
Because I remember when you bought a bunch of, like, the guy was recommending to you, oh, this game's good, this game's good, this game's good. And you were just going with his opinion.
Well, yeah, I think I set myself, you know, a few hundred dollars just to get fighting games for the Saturn. And I said, oh, I'll just pick out the best fighting games. Obviously, you know, they differ to how rare they are, but I was just like trusting this guy completely. I was like, just give me fighting games. And he's like pulling them all out. Now, I still haven't really lived that moment where I've set up the Saturn and just played through them, unfortunately, but I hope to do that soon.
Yeah, because with the Saturn, when I was young, like, I only knew one person who had it, and I believe I only played it once at his house, and that was, we played Daytona, USA. Yeah. And that is my only memory of anyone ever owning a Saturn. Everyone owned the PS1 or the Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
But it's actually a really good console.
Well, to be honest, I think it came down to what our parents were speaking to other parents about what they had. And PS1 and 64 were the most popular. I knew one person that had a Dreamcast, but and I also knew one person who had a Sega. But it wasn't because I went over there when they had it. It was years later they told me they had one.
Okay.
So, I mean, I didn't have a Sega growing up, but I had a Sega from which we traded in 64 for some reason.
Was this the Mega Drive?
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I purchased one later on, but for me, getting into it, like, I always had, we had a large Nintendo games. For some reason, we seemed to have quite a lot of them when we were quite young. You know, 15 maybe. And that's a lot. Like, we had all the Donkey Kongs, Mario All-Stars, you know, was it Bob the Robot or Rob? I don't remember.
Rob. Oh, no, it's Bob. Sorry. It's Bob.
Had, you know, Block, Mario Kart, we didn't have Mario Land, but like, we just had a big sort of mixture of games. But when we sort of moved on to the 64, those all sort of got put in a box, and I just remember having this clear box with all the games on it, and it was like it was sort of like a treasure trove of stuff that I'd carry. I'd take it around a friend's house and we'd play all the different games. And yeah, it was more so like yourself when I started working, but also I was able to get they came out with, obviously there was credit cards, but they came out with a, it was like a credit MasterCard or something, which used your money from your savings account, but you could use it as a credit card online.
A debit MasterCard.
Yeah, that's it. So once I got that, I was able to make an eBay account and just use my own money. That's when, like, exactly like you said, I went and got Battletoads, Uni Rally, Biker Master of Mars, Ninja Turtles, Tournament Fighters, Mighty Max.
Mighty Max, yeah.
Like, all the games, we're back. Like, I just went and got the games that I'd always played at my friend's house and always wanted but never had within, like, the first week. And then it was just Super Nintendo for a while. It was just, I'd be traveling down to markets, Camwell Market, Trash and Treasure, you know, whatever, into the city, different markets, and just looking through antique stores in, like, Ringwood before they did the freeway. I'd go, there used to be a heap of, like, old furniture stores there that just had just crap everywhere, and you just go there and make them an offer, and they give, like, I got Pinocchio, I got this Lamborghini game on Super Nintendo, Rush on 64, like, games that just be a one-off cartridge just sitting there, and they were just fun memories. And I just remember wanting to stockpile as many as I could, because I just had a real interest in sort of being able to play anything.
I agree.
Like, I'd always, you know, people would always be like, obviously when your friends are into games, be like, oh, did you ever play that? Did you ever play that game? It was awesome. And I'd always be like, no, I never played it. I never had it. And then there was a stage when sort of around 2009, 2008, I wasn't really playing or collecting anything, but I had an Xbox 360 in my room, and then one day I just started getting PlayStation games because I was at Eastland and I saw Guilty Gear on sale, and I'm like, well, maybe I should start getting a few PlayStation 2 games and start playing them again, and then just started to build up a bit of collection there, and just sort of went from there, and just started getting into it. So that's how I sort of got into it, yeah.
Like, I remember in 2011, I was on eBay, and I was checking up Mega Man X on how much it was going for, and it was auctioning off at, like, 60. And I thought this was so expensive. And now you're back, like, 2016, it was, like, $110, $120. I think it's dropped now, but it's just like, well, that escalated real quick.
Yeah, it was... You know what I did? I actually had on my phone, I had these apps that you could buy for about $5 each. We'd had the full Super Nintendo library and Game Boy and stuff. And I had a goal that I'd just go from A to Z, and just each week, every time I got paid on Thursday, I'd buy the next game on the list.
Yep.
Now, you know, I think it was like whatever it had the Japanese ones as well. So for the first couple of weeks, I was just getting these no-name Japanese games that I had no idea, still don't to this day. Just buying and then I was starting to get to like the Three Ninjas and stuff, which is a hard game to find.
Yep.
So some weeks I was shelling out like $80, and some weeks I was shelling out like $4.
Oh, really?
And I worked my way through that list until I just got to the point where I was like, I just can't find these games. They just don't exist.
Yeah.
They're just not on eBay. And I just like got discouraged. I was like, oh, screw it.
Well, some of those titles would be from America, I believe. American exclusives.
Yeah, exactly. And then I started to like, because I got discouraged that I couldn't find them, I'd jump around the list and just, I'd get my finger and go scroll up and down a few times with my eyes closed, and whatever game I'd stop on, that's what I'd get.
Yep.
You know, F1 pole position 1 week, and you know, next week it would be like some PGA Tour 92 or something. So just like, just picking games.
Yeah.
Just trying to get bulk more so than quality.
No, good. That's good, because there's variety there.
There is, but, you know, it was cool to have a big collection, but at the same time, I guess playing them took a backseat to actually collecting at some stage.
But that's sometimes the fun of it all.
It is, and the funnest part about it was when I was off work from an injury and I was just collecting online, and I was on a lot of the sales groups, and this is when, and you can relate to this, when they were really, like, really going off, and you wanted something.
It was.
Excuse me, and you just put in... you know, oh, I'm looking for this, or you'd research a game, and then someone would put it up, and you'd get it for $10, and it was just so exciting, you know, making that deal with them.
That was the peak. Like, that was very exciting, because every time you'd hop on, you'd look, it was there, the one that you wanted, and it was generally a good price, and you'd have to be first to get to it, because everyone was, like, next in line, because they wanted the game, and you're like, transactions.
Yeah, but there was such a respect with it, you know. You'd go next in line and they'd be like, oh, there's someone else waiting on it. If it falls through, it's yours and stuff like that. It just seemed to be pretty cool.
No, I agree.
Yeah, so that was cool. But, you know, then it just became, like, it sort of took over for a while. I didn't really have anything that I was interested in other than collecting games. So
yep.
Buying bloody PS Goes at one stage, and I got a Wonderswan and then collected for that.
That's right.
Like, just getting all sorts of things. I'm like... You know, games that I had no interest in playing, I'd just be looking for.
Yeah.
It's crazy times. Yeah. Oh,
good times.
Here we are. All right, well, we'll talk about some gaming news. Have you got any news for us?
I do. Gaming news. We had the Nintendo PlayStation. It sold at auction for $360,000.
Yep.
And that was below the original offer of $1.2 million that they denied, and they wanted to take it to auction, and it clearly didn't hit that figure at all.
Right.
I don't know if it was the same person who offered him $1.2 million, but that's what the news is at the moment. So if you don't know, the Nintendo PlayStation was what was originally Nintendo's agreement with Sony to be a CD add-on to Nintendo, and they ended up cancelling it very late in the deal because Sony was going to have too much agreement to making games and making hardware and whatnot. So Nintendo went with Philips, and then we had the Philips CDI, which had like those shocking Zelda titles that look like terrible, if you do recall.
Yes.
But yeah, so this was pretty much found one day. It wasn't destroyed back then, and it has been modified to actually play Super Nintendo games. So it currently works, but $360,000 for a prototype, that's a lot of money.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no games on it.
No, exactly.
It's like buying the Switch on release.
Exactly.
Yeah, now it's a good
system. It's a good system now, yes.
Yeah.
One of my most regrettable buys of 2016 or 17, whenever it was.
Yeah, I still quote that to you daily. Now you're knocking over all the old games yet as a child on it.
I love it now. I love the system.
Yeah. Oh, golly.
We also got Doom Eternal, and Animal Crossing is being released on the 20th of this month, so next Friday. And you're excited for Animal Crossing. I'm excited for Doom Eternal. So looking to be a good end of the month.
It's interesting because with the new Animal Crossing coming out, I sort of look back at my time spent playing New Leaf, which was the 3DS version, and I'm like, I probably put about 25 hours into that, which is nothing.
Yep.
Regrettably. So I'm really looking for this one, a decent crack. Because I always had in my mind, I'll go back and I'll play, you know, all the one on the Wii, the one on the GameCube, the one on the DS, which I played a little bit of, even the one on the 64. And yep. It's like, I'm never going to go do that. Like, let's be honest, these games aren't games that you play to complete. They're ongoing games that can, you know, you just pick them up and play them.
Yeah, exactly.
So I want to give this one a decent crack.
Oh, good, good. Because, yeah, it is a sort of like Animal Crossing. It can go pretty much like forever, can't it? There's no real ending to it, is it?
Yeah, pretty much. I know with this game there was some talk of you can't, I don't recall what it is, you can only make a certain amount of towns.
Yep.
Which per console, so you can't, and it's got something, I can't really remember, but I know that you can only do a certain amount of something, which everyone was annoyed about, because if you were to do more, you'd have to go and get more switches, consoles per console. It only lets you do a certain amount. It's got something to do with the online. I might be wrong, but yeah.
Okay.
But you know, it should be exciting. I'm looking forward to it. I haven't really like games I'm excited for. I don't watch a lot of trailers or anything for, because I just want to experience them completely from the get go.
Yeah. No, I understand. Like the first time I kind of looked at Doom was this morning, because there was a bit of a reveal trailer. But it looks really good.
Why are you so drawn to Doom?
Why? I enjoyed it. Younger, I had Doom 64. I played, well, the 2016 one was pretty awesome, not gonna lie to you. And this one's supposed to be even better.
The one in 2018?
16.
What was the one before that?
Doom 3?
I thought there was one in between there.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, the last one that was out, I played through that and thought to myself, what was going on? You had, like, robot powers and stuff.
There wasn't much of a... Yeah, that was the 2000. Yeah, there wasn't much of a story, but just the gameplay was awesome.
Yeah, I didn't really like it that much.
Ah, well, me and a friend of ours named Munson, we loved it.
Yeah, he liked it.
He loved it.
Yes, he does. He'll be on the show one day.
Yeah.
Maybe. If we can get him on, yeah.
We also had E3 was cancelled due to the coronavirus going on at the moment. Yep. That's pretty big news for gaming, and not just gaming, but pretty much everything. Movies, sporting events, lifestyle. It's all taken a hit.
Hand cream. Yeah, no, it's definitely shaken people. I don't really know what to make of it. I mean, no one's really... at this stage, like, I don't know anyone who's got it. People are taking precautions for something they haven't even seen. We'll have to just wait and see. But, you know, everyone's sort of business as usual, but it's still in the back of their mind, you know. Obviously, with a baby on the way, and, you know, you want to make sure everyone's safe, and, you know, yeah, your families are all looked after and your friends, and you're not doing anything that's going to make things worse. But at the same time, a lot of people can't go out and stock up on, you know, all sorts of food and water and stuff. It's just not possible. So
there's no supplies in the supermarkets either.
Yeah, that's it. So, you know, scary times.
Yeah. In terms of other gaming news, do you have anything on your end?
Yeah, well, I just some other little things. There's a Gears of War card game coming out, as yep. well as a Ni No Kuni-based strategy board game.
Okay.
Horizon Zero Dawn is coming to PC.
Yeah, yep. I heard that one.
Destiny 2 is getting a major update. Okay. One of the creators of Overwatch, the Blizzard shooting game, has left the company after 20 years.
Okay.
A new Witcher game is beginning development after the success of the Netflix series.
Yeah, and I assume the makers of... what's the game that they're making at the moment?
I'm not sure, sorry.
Cyberpunk, sorry. Cyberpunk, yeah. So once they finish that, they'll be going on for a new Witcher. So
they've got a head writer for the HBO series The Last of Us, which won't be a movie after speculation it would be.
It'd be better off as a show.
I think so. I think that we'll probably see now after The Witcher a lot more games. It's just a quicker turnaround to get them onto a Netflix series.
Big time.
Especially with a show where they can run a pilot and then go, okay, no one really liked that about it, so let's change this. Whereas you do a movie, you're sort of committed.
Yeah.
Pokemon Go is changing to be safe for during the corona spread. I don't know how it's changing, but they've announced they're making changes. That's pretty much it, I think. You know, obviously there's minor updates for big games like GTA, but Lego Mario is coming out, which might be an interesting one. And there's a new Silent Hill game, Revival, rumoured, that are probably on the PS5.
I've heard that also.
Well, you've heard it all, haven't you?
I have. But if they are rebooting, like, PT and a whole new Silent Hill series, they'll be good. They'll be good.
Do you feel when you hear about a game recreated or something like that, and you have the copy, the original copy, sitting in your room or garage, wherever it is, do you ever feel a bit annoyed or that you didn't sort of get around to playing it?
No, not so much, because it might be enhanced in a sort of way. Mm-hmm. I know with the reboot, they're just not, I suppose they're not remastering it. When they remaster a certain game that I've loved, mm-hmm. it could be good, but you could be ruining everything. Like, I believe with like some HD things, they just ruin like the atmosphere, like fogs, textures, they're just what made the original so special. It's gone in a HD remake.
That's true. Yeah, I don't dispute that. I think it's more like games like Resident Evil. When I've had Resident Evil 2 since, you know, late 90s.
Yep.
We had a burned copy of it. Like, and I thought to myself, like, I'll play it one day, I'll play it. And then I got the Vita, and I had it on the Vita, played through the first couple of hours, and I had it on the PS3, and I had it, played a bit of it there.
Yeah.
But then I just stopped playing it. Then, you know, now it's been re-released and I still haven't really played that. So, yeah, stuff like that's when you read like Silent Hill might be getting rebooted. It's like, well, damn, I wish I had a sort of played through it originally because it still feels funny going and playing things, even like Final Fantasy VII being, you know, half, three quarters of the way through that and never finishing it. And now I'm going to play through the remake.
Yeah.
It's almost like cheating the system a little bit.
Yeah, you kind of wanted to play it back then, and then I see what you're coming with.
It'd almost be like, say, if they re-released, bad example, with Banjo-Kazooie, and then everyone started playing Banjo-Kazooie, even though this has been done, and then it's sort of like you feel like it holds a special place in your heart, but also in some ways you feel like you own it a little bit, and then you hear people talking about it, it's like, well, I played it when it first came out, you know, like, what would you guys know, sort of thing.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a funny feeling, and it's like at the end of the day, it's just who cares. So, all right. Well, yeah, that's all the news for the moment. Anyway, we'll go into some reviews. Just a quick review that we do each episode. I'll go first, I guess.
Yeah, no worries.
This is one of my top 10 games of all time.
Oh, I'm excited.
You're excited. Well, that's good because you need a bit of top in your life at the moment. I don't know if it was featured on a early version of the Melbourne Retro WordPress blog, which is still out there somewhere, but it is now in my top 10. It was released in 1996, and it has been on every console except for Xbox, Microsoft consoles, up until this date. It's still out there, it's still extremely popular, and it is a game by the name of Metal Slug.
Metal Slug, yes.
Are you familiar?
I am familiar. Good game. Great graphics, great gameplay. I love my side-scrolling shooters, and this is definitely one of them.
Well,
The
yes, obviously.
presentation looks fantastic. And the SNK, I believe, they did a really great job with this series.
Take over the review, by all means. No, but you know, I think from playing Super Nintendo games, 64 games, where you're playing on-rail shooters, which are moving up the screen. When I first played this game, I just couldn't believe how fun it was. I was just so blown away by it. I played it at a friend's house. He had a burned copy on PS1, and I
Yep.
was like, "This is the greatest game." I was just fascinated with it from the day, like even in America when I had the vinyl in my hand soundtrack when we were in New York. It was the
I
day
do
before.
recall.
I should have got it, honestly. But you know, it at the end of the day, I didn't need to get that. But like the soundtrack, everything about it, the hand-drawn style of animation, it's just so fun. Every time I play it, it's such a great experience, really. It's
Yep.
such a simple game. There's only six worlds, but you know, it basically it's yeah, as I said, made in 1996. SNK published it. It was actually developed by a company called Nazca, who were only around for 1 year until they were sort of picked up by SNK and merged into them.
No, really.
Yeah, so it was released for the Neo Geo, which I don't think saw a lot of action in Australia, but it's the
It's
original Neo Geo.
more the AES, I think. The home console, they were very expensive, so I don't think they did so well here. But the main, like arcade systems, yeah, they were everywhere.
Yeah, the Metal Slug arcade. Well, they're still around today.
Yep.
Maybe not as widespread, but yeah, they're still out there. Definitely when I was growing up, I saw a lot more of them. Maybe not Metal Slug 1, but 2, 3, and 4. But yeah, I definitely remember playing on the second one at Bayswater Roller City.
Yeah, I do
that was
recall it
there.
being there.
Yeah. So as I said, I've got it at the moment. I've got it on the Switch, play it all the time, downloaded all of them. It's on the PS4. I only saw it on the PS4 the other day. I was like, I'm going to get that because that's great. Yeah, I've got it on, as I said, I've got it on everything. But basically, you move from left to right and you just basically continue a stream of enemies coming towards you and you just keep on shooting. You can get different types of guns, shotgun, machine gun. There's a pistol, there's bombs. You use a hand knife for melee weapons, which is automatic when you're close to an enemy. Laser point in one of the other games, but I don't think the first one has it. There's rockets. End of the levels, you fight a boss, which will usually be a large tank or some sort of machinery. You can find the SV in each level, which is like a tank or a super vehicle to help you get through the levels. And that has, you know, multiple fire, rapid fire, or bombs. Really fun. You save hostages throughout the level who give you upgrades like machine guns or just more points. Which it's basically a one-shot kill game in terms of the enemies, except for the tanks and stuff you're killing, but also same for you. You get hit, you're dead. Yeah, but it's they're pretty innovative levels. The game's known for its humor. There's funny things going on in the background and different sorts of things to collect, and it's got a very sort of old school weaponry, sort of World War II era style to it. But it's also, you know, got I guess futuristic tanks and airplanes and stuff as well. So it does have a storyline, but it's basically just a rebel army trying to take over the world, and you're there, part of the Metal Slugs, which are trying to stop them, basically, as much as I can interpret from it. But yeah, you're right. It was an arcade in the America, in not America, in Japan, and then moved all around the world, especially in America, where it gained much of its popularity. First home console, I said it was the Neo Geo MSV, MVS system, which was the version. Then it came to the Neo Geo CD, which I have it on. I also have it on the PlayStation 1 because when I was in Japan with you, I bought a lot of Neo Geo CD stuff. Then it came to the Saturn and the PlayStation, and just went from there. There's a anthology version which has all the games which was released for the Wii and the PS2. PSP. I got the PSP version, didn't work. But
Oh, no.
I also have the Wii version, but the one thing I don't like about the Wii version is you have to shake the controller to throw a bomb. It just ruins the game for me. You want it
Oh,
to be a
really?
button, so we tap it.
That's what I hated about the Wii. Anyway,
Yeah,
that's
it
another
do a lot
thing.
of stupid things for the Wii, like stupid control button, weird stuff. Yeah, anyway, but It's great. It's a fantastic game. You're running, gunning, basically all the levels. It's cooperative. I think you can actually play online on the PlayStation version. It's just a lot of fun. It's great. I played a lot of it through the years, and I absolutely love it.
Oh, good. And what would you give it out of 10?
This one, yeah, 9.5 out of 10. Everything
nine
about
and a half.
I just, because, you know, it's not, I can get through the first three levels without getting shot, basically, including the bosses. I've done it a few times. The first level for me is just like a walk in the park. It's great. That's how much I've played it. But, like, sometimes I listen to the soundtracks.
Yeah.
When I got the Neo Geo X, which was released in Australia, it was like a port-based console where you couldn't actually play the cartridges, although the guy told me he could.
Really?
This is one of the games that was booted into that, so I played it on that. I've played it on everything, basically, all through my life. I continue to. It's just that fun. So, yeah, I give it a high ranking. You know, it plays great on everything that I've played it on. The second one has a lot of lag issues, which is disappointing. Even on the Switch, it lags heaps. So I don't know if it's a programming issue, but the first one's awesome. So, yeah, I really love this game. It's great.
Oh, good. It's good to hear.
Yeah. And what about you? What's your game of the week?
Well, I'm going to do a quick review here. It's one of my favorite games on the PlayStation 2. Very underrated game and not well heard of, but I had a lot of fun with it. So did one of my mates who used to come over and play it as well. And that game being Splashdown. Splashdown. It's a water racing video game developed by Rainbow Studios and published by Infogrames. Infogrames. Originally for the PlayStation 2 and was later ported to the Xbox. Yep. It was released under the Atari brand name, and it's pretty much a jet ski game. You go through, like, it's very similar to Wave Race, if you've played that. On the Nintendo 64, but players take control of a personal watercraft, a jet ski, and they race against other vehicles on various courses, and players must pass the correct side of the buoys on the way. And if you miss the buoys, you get like a penalty against you, which goes against your time, and you've got to beat certain times and beat the certain racers who are next to you. And the soundtrack in the game is fantastic. It's like that punk rock, the early 2000s, got your Offspring, you've got NoFX and like Blink-182. They're all their music in the game. It's just so much fun. The game is like, you can do tricks as well while you're going over the ramps. So it's the graphics are quite good as well. You have to play it and know it to probably like it. But whoever's listening out there, and you know this game, or you want to give it a shot, this is something you should pick up on the PlayStation 2. It'll be very cheap as well, and I assume you'll have a lot of fun with it. When it came out, it got real positive reviews. IGN gave it an 8.8 out of 10.
Yep.
And they even said it was highly addictive, which it was. We got it. It was a burnt game. And we just played it because whatever, we thought we'd give it a shot. And we were playing it. We booted it up at like 8 o'clock at night one time when one of my mates was over. And come 4 o'clock in the morning, we were still playing it. And my mom comes out and she just cracked it at us because we were still up.
Yeah.
My mate won't forget this. Even when I bring it up, he still has a good laugh. Pretty much the game has incredible music to go along with it. The racing and trick maneuvers you can pull off. It's just a very addictive game. It received a sequel, Splashdown Rides Gone Wild, in 2003, which I never played, but I picked this up recently, like the actual copy, for like $5, probably like 5-6 years ago now. And very fun game. Once I got the PS2 and everything set up, I'll have to put it back in because it's a fun game. I'm praying that the PlayStation 5 is backwards compatible in some point. That way it doesn't take a million consoles for me to have to set up just so I can play these games.
It's a dream, isn't it? Come on, Sony.
And I'm going to give this game probably an 8.5.
Oh, wow. High scorer.
It's up there. Like, it's just a very addictive game. It's similar to, like, it's just like that arcade fun. Like, you know, you play your Tony Hawk's or your Crazy Taxi. It's just quick races, but this, you got to work up to beat, like, the boss, like in like Diddy Kong Racing or Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah.
It's just put together very well.
That's good. Well, I've never really heard of that game, unfortunately, but I'll look into it now. And, you know, if it gets that high of a ranking, it must be good.
Yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it.
Good stuff, good stuff. All right, well, obviously, we'll plug the... You want to plug the Facebook?
Yeah, so you can find the Facebook page. It's Power On Retro Gaming on Facebook. You can also find us on Instagram under the same handle as well. You can find this podcast, Apple Podcasts. You can find it on Stitcher Smart Radio. You can find it on Spotify. And you can find it also now, I believe it's on Dozer, which is another podcast application. And also on Wooshka as well.
Wooshka. Well, there you go.
Wooshka. Yeah.
All right.
All right, mate.